Good morning, friends. How is everyone doing this Saturday morning? If you're feeling under the weather, you should move to Arizona. March is awesome in Arizona. We are under sunny skies, headed for a high probably around 75. One of the reasons I love living in Arizona is the weather in the winter is usually amazing, except for those pesky monsoons, but we deal with it. Those of you who are joining us on the live stream on Telegram, thank you for joining. I am Praying Medic. This is Supernatural Saturday for March 9th, 2024. Thanks for joining the live stream, and thank you for tuning in on the replay if you're catching it on Rumble or one of the websites. For those of you who are new, I do these live streams on the second Saturday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern on my Telegram channel, and you are welcome to jump in on the live stream. And sometimes I ask, answer questions from listeners, and that is going to be the case today. Today is going to be a question and answer session. If you have questions about God, questions about healing, questions about politics, questions about anything, you're welcome to ask the question, and I will see if I can answer it. No guarantees, because I am not the world's ultimate authority on anything. A lot of areas I don't actually have any expertise. So the ground rules for the live stream. If you'd like to ask a question, or if you have a testimony, report of something supernatural that God did. In the mobile app, you can raise your hand. There's a little option to raise your hand. If you raise your hand, I will try to call on you. And if you can unmute yourself when I call on you, you can then speak, ask your question, or share your testimony. This is not a forum for venting your frustration and anger. And this is not actually a forum for prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, post it in the Telegram channel in the chat, and you'll get people there who will pray for you. If you're listening on the replay, send me your prayer request through, just email me, admin@prayingmedic.com. I respond to all my emails personally. I try to get to them the same day that they come in. I will respond to your prayer request. And if you do get healed or see some change in your situation, please give me an update, send me an email, let me know, because I like to post testimonies that I receive by email on my Telegram channel. It encourages people and lets others know that God is actually doing some cool stuff today. All right. I am going to start out with a couple of things that were requested. So the first is from Heather. She's one of the admins in the channel. And she asked a question. What are we permitted to curse, and what are we permitted to bind? According to the passage in the Gospels where Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we also, she understands, we have the authority to curse certain things. Jesus cursed the fig tree. And when the disciples came back a day or two later, it was withered and dead. So I think it's a good question. I don't know if Heather's on the live stream. She's got a bunch of kids, so she can't always make the live stream. It's a good question. And I will say one thing just to kind of begin the discussion. When I am praying for people to be healed of cancer, I frequently curse cancer cells. I just speak a curse to the cancer cells, and I command cancer cells to die and to be removed from the body. I curse tumors. I command them to die and to be removed from the body. Those types of things, I think it's perfectly appropriate for us to curse them. You have to be careful with cursing, putting curses on people and things. You don't want to curse people. But anything that is not supposed to be in your body, if you have a bacterial infection, if you got a viral infection, you've got COVID or some other infectious disease, that's not supposed to be in your body. You can curse that thing and command it to leave. The authority that Jesus gives us, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, the Lord called the disciples to himself, gave them power and authority over demons and to heal diseases. So our authority that we have given to us by God is for healing diseases. Like I said, I frequently will curse cancer cells, curse invading bacteria and infections, things of that nature. Binding is generally done when it comes to deliverance. You can bind a spirit, command it to be silent, command it to leave. That's the authority we have over demons. Jesus said he has given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. So we have authority to command demons to shut up, to bind them if you want, and to command them to leave. And you can tell them to go wherever you want. I often tell them to go to the feet of Jesus, go to the pit, you know, go to hell, whatever seems appropriate at the time. So we can definitely use our authority against the powers of the enemy, against sickness, against evil spirits. And once you start straying from that, you get into some gray areas. You need to be careful wielding that authority because it does have consequences. And it requires discernment and wisdom to do it correctly. All right. I have a second request. And this is kind of from Julie Lavender and my wife together. They've been talking art stuff, but they're talking about other things. So I have been receiving some dreams lately that are somewhat concerning. And I'll just start it out by saying this. I was not a big believer in Faraday containers, Faraday enclosures, Faraday bags, all that stuff, as a way to mitigate the effects of an electromagnetic pulse, an EMP, either by the detonation of an EMP at high altitude or the detonation of a nuclear bomb at low altitude. God has given me some dreams recently that have caused me to rethink my position on that. Suffice it to say, I've changed my position and I am actually putting my radio equipment in Faraday bags if it is not in use. So here's an example. This is a Faraday bag made by Faraday Defense. It's the what is it called? Nest Z. Nest Z is the brand, and it's a little metal bag that has a plastic liner on the inside. It's got a Ziploc bag. This has a radio in it. It's actually my mobile radio that I use in my vehicle. But I don't use the mobile radio in my vehicle very often, the ham radio. I hardly ever use it. So why would I want, if I'm concerned that we're gonna end up in potentially getting in some kind of a nuclear exchange or suffer an EMP strike, why would I just leave my radio out in my vehicle to get blasted by an EMP if I could just put it in one of these bags and leave it there until after the event happens? So, like I said, I've been changing my thinking about how I take care of my gear. I've bought this gear. I don't want it to be fried before it's actually needed. Radios are going to be needed after the fact. If we end up, getting in a nuclear exchange or an EMP takes out communication systems, you're going to need radios then. You don't necessarily need them right now. But then, if we lose internet and lose cell phone service, that's when we're going to need radios. So my thinking now is put them in storage, keep them safe, and take them out after the fact and use them. So there's just been a change in my thinking. because like I said, God's given me a couple of dreams over the last week or two that have caused me to change my position on that. Now, I'm going to transition here real quickly. Even though God has shown me in dreams some concerning things that may be coming, I don't know with certainty if God is showing me something that is going to happen or if he's showing me something that may happen if we do not intercede and stop it. All right, that is a key point. So if you're an intercessor, you should be interceding against the plans of the enemy. If the enemy's plan is to stir up war, to cause nuclear war, to cause countries to start, you know, detonating EMPs and taking down the communications grid, we should be praying against that. And Julie Lavender has said that she's found it seems to be quite beneficial during praise and worship. During her praise and worship sessions, she finds herself going into the heavenly realms, making declarations and doing spiritual warfare there during praise. I have a slightly different aspect of prayer. My prayer life is different, but I'm doing the same thing. I am praying and making declarations against the plans of the enemy. And one of the things specifically you can do is we have seen a lot of testimonies from people who have seen electronic devices supernaturally repaired. I've seen it myself. Denise had a broken iPod docking station back in the days when people had iPods. Yeah, that was a while ago. We had a Bose docking station for the iPod, and that thing gave up the ghost. It was toast. We prayed, and it got restored supernaturally. It just got repaired, and it worked great after we prayed for that device. I've seen broken cars supernaturally repaired. Sometimes I assign angel mechanics to fix the fuel system, the battery, the electrical system, whatever's wrong with the car, whatever I think is wrong. I just tell these mechanic angels, fix this car and make it run right. And it happens. The cars are repaired. The washing machines and dryers are supernaturally repaired when we pray for them. This was kind of a weird concept years ago when people started doing it and they're hearing about it. But it's a real thing. So one of the things you can do, and I started doing this, is I am asking angels to provide supernatural protection of my home and my vehicle against the effects of electromagnetic pulses, nuclear blast, and all that, and radiation. I am going to work with angels to see if I can get them to establish a safe zone over my house or my vehicle so that my stuff is not harmed if we end up getting in some kind of a nuclear conflict. You can take proactive measures. One, pray, intercede, and declare that it's not going to happen. Two, if it does happen, work with angels and work with God to mitigate the effects of it. And three, after the fact, if we find ourselves, you know, in 6 months in a post-nuclear world with devices that have been destroyed in war, we can then pray over them and get them to work again and get them supernaturally repaired. So this is Supernatural Saturday, and I would encourage you to lean into and ask God for specific strategies and tactics and methods to either prevent in advance or deal with after the fact the effects of nuclear warfare. All right. That is it for my opening salvo of comments. I'm going to go to the chat. If you want to ask a question, share a testimony, put your hand up, and we will see. Lucy just put her hand up. All right, Lucy. Lucy, if you can unmute yourself, what is on your mind?
Hi, Dave. Thank you again for everything you've done. I'm having a big tree dropped in my front yard. I hope my dog doesn't start barking. I'll make it quick. I worked in physical therapy most of my life. I did do like a Reiki 1 class, and I did cranial sacral work. There's a fine line between good and bad where you're getting your energy from, and it did scare me a little bit with the Reiki, if you want to call it a pledge. However, yeah. I developed more of a just, you know, God help us. And a couple, more than once, I've done some healing in a back on a patient with permission from them. And boy, one time, lady lost her leg due to diabetes. And it worked. I mean, it absolutely, there was a big old clunk shift in her hip, and she was overjoyed, and the pain left, and it was great. What's your take on people who are doing Reiki versus what we're doing, trying to do here? Thank you.
Yep. I know a lot of people who are who do energy work, Reiki specifically. When I started posting testimonies in the channel 2 years ago, we got a lot of input from various energy healers of different kinds. And initially, their response was generally, oh, that's cool. You guys are doing the same thing we're doing. And then they started to see testimonies of cancer being healed and people being healed of multiple sclerosis and other very serious conditions. And they were like, okay, that's above our pay grade. We've never seen anything like that. And some of them came to the realization that they're actually working with demons doing Reiki. And they renounced it, walked away from it. I do not advocate Reiki techniques. The testimony of former Reiki practitioners to me and to our audience is, stay away from it. Don't do it. It's demonic. That's not me. That's people who've been practicing Reiki for 20, 30 years. So I do not advocate it. The healing power that we have through the Holy Spirit is unlimited. It can raise the dead. My friend Jesse Berkey has seen numerous people raised from the dead in his ambulance. No drugs, no IV, just prayer. Jesse prayed for a woman who drowned. She was on the bottom of her swimming pool. Her husband found her, dragged her body out of the water. She'd been underwater for 10 minutes at least. Jesse got there on the ambulance. He's a paramedic. He prayed for her to be healed, and she came back to life. No defibrillation, no IV, no medication. She was raised from the dead by prayer. That's the kind of power and authority that we have. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Reiki, and I would not recommend it. All right. Anybody else have their hand up? Nobody has their hand up. Oh, this is going to be the shortest live stream ever. there's literally like 100 people in the chat, and no one has their hand up. Come on. Somebody has to have a question. This is a question and answer, by the way. There we go. Carolyn Setters. Carolyn, if you can unmute yourself, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi. I have a couple of comments, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
I had asked for prayer for my niece, Eden. She's 7 years old. She was the one with a bacterial pneumonia last summer, was in the hospital for 12 days, and then this year got RSV, but she is well. She basically, the day after I emailed you for prayer, she was like 90% better. So it was just wonderful.
Cool. Awesome.
And then my friend, I asked for prayer for my friend, my best friend, Julia, who had a stroke. And she still needs prayer. She is in rehab. She's doing better, but like I said, still needs prayer. And okay. Then my next comment was regarding what you had said last month about the drones. And okay. You only talked about drones being used for military use and for recreational use. But and I just kind of wanted to let people know that there are many other uses for drones. You know, they use them for surveying. They use them for in agriculture and farming. So, and because my nephew has a franchise in agricultural drones, so that's why.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't normally think of drones in that context, but yeah, they can be used for a lot of different things.
Yeah,
real estate, the realtors use drones all the time for taking aerial photos and videos of homes that are for sale.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I just had if you don't have an opinion about this, that's fine. But what do you know about the Watchman procedure, I think it's called, or implant? And do you have an opinion about it, whether it's good or bad?
I've never heard of it.
It's like a mesh that's supposed to fill for blood clots so that people don't get strokes.
Oh, is it like an IVC filter?
Maybe.
With a mesh that traps blood clots so that they don't go to your brain?
Right.
They put in a device in inside of your large blood vessels that traps blood clots so they can't travel around your body. I don't know a whole lot about that issue.
Well, that's my friend Julia. Hers failed. So
okay. You know what? We're going to pray for Julia right now.
Okay. Thank you.
I command Julia's body to be healed. I command blood clots to be dissolved. I command her clotting factors to be normal. Sickness, disease, and evil spirits, get out. Lord, bring your healing presence upon her. Okay, thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you.
And let's see. Eliza, if you can unmute yourself, what is on your mind?
Okay, there I am.
There you go.
I don't know if it's an appropriate question to ask, but I was traveling last year, and on Christmas Eve in the Vienna airport, I had like a 15 to 20 minute experience of having very rapid heart rate.
Okay.
And haven't had it since, never had it before.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering how concerned I should be about it. I wanted to get on the call about it before, but I was busy the supernatural Saturdays.
Yeah. Have you seen a cardiologist?
No, because I never had it happen before.
Yeah. You know, sometimes people have those short episodes of tachycardia. Usually we call that paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia. It's not usually anything to worry about. If it becomes more regular, if it becomes more, you know, longer periods of time, then you might want to have a cardiology follow-up, but I don't think I would be too concerned about it. I've had issues with heart arrhythmias my whole adult life, so I'm telling you from experience, I wouldn't worry too much about it, unless it becomes more regular and it's more sustained.
All right. Thank you. That's what I thought, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yep. Lori, if you can, gosh dang it, Lori, if you can unmute yourself, what's going on? I think you unmuted yourself. There you go.
Hi. Thank you very much for everything you do. First of all, I've sent a few emails to you asking for prayers, and I really greatly appreciate that. My question, I don't know, I just joined, so I don't know if you've already talked about this or if this is appropriate for today's conversation regarding EMPs.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, my daughter has decided to take the vax twice, and she knows the problems of it, but she fell under peer pressure, and I'm wondering if it's appropriate to ask about how to help her or pray for her to not have any reactions from that. Regarding the EMP, I'm just confused as to what that actually means. Is that something that can happen all over the country? Would everything be disabled? Only some things be disabled, etc.?
Okay. I'll answer those two questions.
Thank you.
All right. So when it comes to praying over your daughter, number one, I would pray and ask God to change her heart, change her mind, and show her the truth. That's really like the best thing you can do to someone, best way you can pray for someone. You don't want to do things to people. The best way to pray for someone that you believe is under deception or, you know, falling in line because of peer pressure is to pray that God will open their eyes to the truth, show them the truth, give them conviction to stand for the truth. And you know, that sort of prayer, that's number one. Number two, you can pray over her physical body and you can, using your authority, neutralize those spike proteins. That's what I would do. In fact, I have done it. I have prayed for people who have been vaxxed and just basically said, look, I command spike proteins to be removed from their body and yank those things out and fix their DNA and reverse the effects of the vaccines. Perfectly legitimate, it's easy to do. And that's what I would recommend regarding your daughter. So on the EMPs, let's have a little discussion about that. When a nuclear bomb is detonated, there's several things that happen when a nuclear bomb is detonated. There's several types of damage that are done. One type of damage is a fireball at the detonation site. Now, let's just assume I'm talking about a detonation of a nuclear bomb at ground level, because not all nuclear weapons are detonated at ground level. Some of them are detonated at high altitudes, and it causes a different set of problems. We'll talk about that in a minute. So at a ground level nuclear detonation, there's a fireball, and that fireball is contained to an area of about a mile. Depending on the size of the warhead used, the fireball can be a quarter of a mile, a half a mile, maybe as large as 1 mile in diameter. Again, depending on the size of the warhead. So there's a ball of fire that incinerates and burns physical, you know, buildings and anything that's made of wood, anything that's combustible. Even at that temperature, stone buildings will also be incinerated as well. So there's the fireball that is in a relatively small area. Then there's a blast wave. A blast wave is a wave of high pressure that spreads outward from the inside of a detonation site, a wave of high pressure that spreads outward. And the problem with blast waves is they damage living tissue. If a bomb goes off and you're standing near it, that blast wave can collapse your lungs because of the pressure change. It creates a wave of high pressure that goes through into your body, and it just blows up the alveoli inside your lungs. Your lungs get shredded because of the change in atmospheric pressure. So living beings, animals and humans inside that blast wave are going to be killed because of the blast wave. That is a pressure wave. Then there is the radiation that is released, ionizing radiation that's released as a result of the nuclear explosion. So the ionizing radiation is radiation that is damages cells at the cellular level. Radiation goes in there and just starts destroying living cells. The radioactive isotopes released in a nuclear blast will very quickly kill people inside of the radiation zone, which is, again, depending on the size of the warhead, anywhere from 3 to 10 miles in radius. Okay, then going outward from that, there is an EMP wave, an electromagnetic pulse. So in a nuclear detonation, a wave of electromagnetic energy is released. It's an electromagnetic pulse. It is a wave of high voltage on the order of 1 to 2 million volts of electricity that is released into the area, and that goes out for hundreds of miles, potentially thousands of miles. That electromagnetic pulse, because it is a wave of high voltage, it damages anything with a printed circuit board, with electronic circuit. So if you have a radio, if you have a cell phone, your cell phone has a printed circuit board in it. It's got circuits that are designed to carry electrical voltage. These cell phones and tablets and electronic devices that we have typically run on somewhere between 5 and 12 volts of electricity. If you introduce into that phone, suddenly connect it to a 200 volt current, it's going to fry the circuit board inside of that phone, because that's more voltage than that device is designed to handle. Well, an EMP wave comes through, and that's, like I said, on the magnitude of about 1,000,000 volts. That is going to destroy circuits in electronic devices, phones, tablets, radios, computers, anything that has a printed circuit board in it is probably going to get destroyed by the electromagnetic pulse. It's a high voltage wave. So what these things do, those little EMP bags, it's a bag made of metal. It has an aluminum layer on the outside. It's got layers of plastic polymer, and then it's got another layer of aluminum lower down, and then it has plastic polymer on the inside. These bags are made of like 7 or 8 different layers. What they do is the metal bag will conduct the high voltage of the EMP in a continuous circuit around the outside of the device, but it can't get inside. The voltage doesn't go inside the bag. It's locked out because the bag is sealed. That voltage can't get inside. Some of the energy, some of the radio frequency energy will go inside, but that bag is effective at blocking out 99% of the radio frequency, the high voltage radio frequency that comes through from an EMP. So the reason, that's why Faraday bags are helpful. Faraday bags can prevent that voltage, the full voltage, from getting inside that bag and damaging the circuits. Is it 100% foolproof? Probably not. It hasn't been tested a lot. You can test these bags with a radio transmitter and an amplifier that will put out a lot of RF energy. And you can then measure what is the reduction in energy with a device that is exposed directly to the energy, and then one is it inside of an EMP container. And the guy who sells these on his website, he's done a lot of testing on these bags, and they eliminate 99.9% of RF energy when properly used, when sealed where they're supposed to be. So that's the concern that people have about a potential either a nuclear bomb detonation at ground level. So what happens with a nuclear bomb detonated at ground level, that wave of electromagnetic energy goes out, like I said, 4 miles, although you got to consider this. The energy released in a nuclear blast is reduced by the square of distance. So the further you get away from the electromagnetic source, as you get away, the amount of energy drops off. Each time you square the distance, you lose that much more energy. So there is a point where if you're far enough away from the detonation, you really won't feel or notice much of a wave of electricity. Having said that, let's talk about high altitude. So the detonation of a nuclear bomb or an EMP weapon at a high altitude doesn't create the fireball that a ground level detonation causes. It doesn't incinerate things on the ground. It doesn't create a massive cloud of radiated dust and ash and soot to travel around, get inside your house, and then poison you with radiation. That is one of the problems with a nuclear detonation at ground level, is that fireball creates a lot of ash, soot, and dust, and those particles are carrying radioactive isotopes. And if that dust and ash gets into your home, into your lungs, into your body, it's going to contaminate you, and eventually it's going to make you sick and potentially die. So after a nuclear bomb detonation, one of the most important things you have to do is get inside of your home and stay there. And the most dangerous radioactive isotopes take about 2 weeks to degrade to where they're no longer harmful. That is according to E.J. Mendoza, who's a nuclear physicist, in his book, Gearing Up to Survive Nuclear War. I cover this information in my book on emergency preparedness. But going back to the high altitude EMP. So nations like Russia, China, and North Korea have developed and deployed weapons in low level orbit around Earth that are primarily EMP weapons. They don't have as much of a nuclear threat as in fireball and disseminating, you know, dangerous radiation and dust and debris. They just create a wave of electromagnetic energy, high voltage, that fries power grids, cell phone towers, cell phones, tablets, computers, and disables communication equipment. I was listening to a guy talk this last week on a show, and he's an expert, former military, who has worked extensively in the space programs, military intelligence, and weapons systems, and he's very concerned about the current the way that the Defense Department and the White House are carrying out our strategic nuclear weapons deterrent program. We don't really have a deterrent program. And I'm not going to get into the details on this particular issue, other than to say we had, during the Reagan administration, we had a strong deterrent for nuclear war. That was the era of mutually assured destruction. If we sensed that the Soviet Union had launched nuclear weapons, we would launch nuclear weapons. And as many as they launched, we would launch the same number. We don't have that capability right now. Currently, the nuclear command structure does not provide for the launch of nuclear weapons until nuclear weapons have been detonated on our soil. We do not have a nuclear first strike capability. We don't even have a retaliation capability. We'll only respond after nuclear weapons have detonated here domestically. And by then it may be too late. And here's the real concern. So North Korea, according to this guy who he seems like he knows what he's talking about. He has a lot of credentials and speaks authoritatively. He says that North Korea has two super EMP weapons that are in geosynchronous orbit above America, North America, at 280 miles above ground level. So they're in orbit, geosynchronous, which means they stay in the same place relative to their position on the Earth all the time. As the Earth rotates, these EMP weapons rotate and stay in one place over the Earth. They're targeted for United States. One of them is targeted over the continental U.S. The other one is targeted over Washington, D.C. Super EMPs. The super EMPs that North Korea developed about 13 or 14 years ago, around 2010, they have a low nuclear yield and a higher than usual amount of electromagnetic energy that they release. So they specialized and created a special weapon that has high release of EMP and a low nuclear yield. And if you're going to detonate this thing from space from 280 miles, you don't need a lot of the nuclear capability. You need the EMP, because that is a wave that's going to disable electronics down below. And this guy says that North Korea has two of them. One is positioned over continental U.S. The other one is specifically targeting Washington, D.C. And here is the problem with those types of weapons. Normally, with a normal, like an intercontinental ballistic missile, or even a sea-based submarine-launched missile, you would get some warning that there was a missile launch because we have satellite imagery and intelligence sources that are observing what we know to be potential nuclear weapons platforms launches. If a launch, land-based missile is launched, we'll know about it. And we'll have, you know, a little bit of time, 15 to 30, between 15 and 30 minutes before that missile gets over the United States and is able to detonate. So we have some warning. These ones that are in space, there is no warning because they're not launched. They are detonated from space and they're detonated remotely. We would get no warning at all if North Korea decided to detonate these weapons. You wouldn't get a DEFCON movement. You wouldn't get any signal. You wouldn't get an emergency broadcast alert. You'd get nothing. They would detonate those suckers, and 2 seconds later, the grid would go down. That is why that, and like I said, some of the dreams I've had in the last couple of weeks have changed my mind about preparing for the possibility of an EMP strike. That's why I decided finally to get some Faraday bags and bag up my radios and my phones and you know, some tablets and things that I want to have available to me long term. It's not going to do me any good if we have an EMP strike and all my gear is junk, doesn't work anymore. All right, so I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but dang it, these are the kind of things that I'm dealing with. And I think it would be irresponsible of me not to share this information. Again, like I said at the start, we absolutely should be praying and interceding against the plans of the enemy. That's a given. We do not have to accept this as our fate. We should be praying, interceding, and declaring that these things are not going to come to pass. However, that said, we should also, I think, be preparing in the event that they do come to pass, because you never really know, you know, is God going to make a way for these things to be thwarted, or are they going to come to pass? We don't know. That's the difficult issue in dealing with prophetic revelation. You don't really know with certainty when God puts something on your radar if it's something that will happen or something that might happen. All right, Michael Murphy, if you can unmute yourself, try it again. First, I have to unmute people, and then I have to say their name. Michael Murphy, if you can unmute yourself, what's going on, brother? Got it.
Hello, Dave.
What's up?
Thank you for praying for me by my email. Just want to say thanks for praying for me. I know it's been a couple of times you pray for me. My sleeping anxiety's gotten better. I had evangelist pray over my he had a word of knowledge of somebody getting healed of umbilical hernia, but I'm not healed yet, but still claim it. So I'd like prayer for that. And my tinnitus is a lot better. It's quiet today. So thank you for praying for that. I listened to your video a lot on the tinnitus. So have you pray for my umbilical hernia and continued improvement on my sleep.
And, okay.
And thank you for the work you do. I enjoy your books.
Thank you. I will pray for you right now. Lord, bring your healing presence upon Michael. I command his abdominal wall to be healed. I command hernias to be removed. I command the abdominal wall to be healed, restored, and made brand new. All right. Fur B, if you can unmute yourself, what's going on? Fur B.
Hi, good morning, Dave. I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. I'm a little nervous. your teachings have given me the confidence to share about Jesus and his love, so that's great. I do want to ask for prayer. I received a diagnosis this week of a viral infection that I've been fighting, and I can't accept it, and I just ask for your prayer.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got it. All right, Lord, bring your healing presence upon Fur. I command viral infections to be gone. I command all invading organisms to be eradicated and removed. I command her immune system to be healed. Sickness, disease, and evil spirits, get out. Go to the feet of Jesus. Do not return. All right. Redbird, you have your hand up, Redbird. If you can unmute yourself, what's going on?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello. All right. Well, this is real quick. Where do we get the Faraday bags? You mentioned a website that you liked.
Yeah. You can get them on a number of places. They sell them on Amazon.
I did try Amazon, but I didn't like the ones they gave me.
Yeah, so. If you put in Nest Z, right?
Oh,
if you put in Nest Z, there's on Amazon, they have like a 5-pack, a 10-pack, a 15-pack of different size bags. I got the 15-pack, and it's very inexpensive. They're only $7 a bag for 15 of them, and they're all different sizes, some small cell phone size ones, tablet size ones, and then larger ones for like laptop computers. They have on Amazon. You can get them on a number of other websites, actually.
Okay.
Faraday Defense is the company that makes the Nest Z. And you can just go to faradaydefense.com, I think, is their website. You can get them there, too.
Thank you. And my last question is, I know you did some talks on preparedness and before, and I missed them. I was hoping they're on your website someplace. Are they?
Yes. If you go on prayingmedic.com or if you go on my Rumble channel, you will find my previous videos discussing emergency preparedness. Particularly look at one videos from the end of December through February.
Okay. All right. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks. All right. Lynn B. If you can unmute yourself, what's up?
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I have two things. One is, first of all, I want to thank you. For
one is your phone is ringing.
Happened. That's just ridiculous. First of all, I want to thank you for all of your healing prayers. They come in so handy. I've been able to share it with so many people. And because you have them kind of separated out into certain elements, they're just really handy. And I want to thank you. It's a lot of work that you do, and it's a wonderful thing. And I've been using the COVID prayer for 13 days now. I think that the whole long COVID hit me, and I'm on the downside of it. I think I'm very close to being well. I think my question is, because I use these prayers so much to help other people, it's just interesting to me and a little discouraging in some ways, but why I've had to use it for 13 days, you know, and I've prayed for soul wound healing. I mean, I've prayed everything I know to pray to get out of me, you know, and I have had several very mature prayer warriors pray for me. What keeps that from getting healed? It's just I can't figure it out. That's the first question. And then the second question, I would like for you to pray for, I've been working on this deal for 3 years, and it's a life-changing amount of money, and we have an extension until April the 30th, and it's just been one delay after another from the enemy. But I know God wants this for me, and I'd ask for you to pray for that to close by the April 30th.
April 30th?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I will do that. Lord, I declare for Lynn that this deal will close by April 30th. Let your plans be established, let the plans of the enemy be destroyed. Lord, open doors of opportunity and bless her business. And On your question of COVID, why do you have to listen to the prayer for 13 days? I don't know the answer to that. There are a lot of things that can stand in the way of physical healing. One of them, as you know, is emotional healing, deliverance. There are sometimes generational issues to be dealt with. Sometimes it's breaking curses. Sometimes it is forgiveness. Sometimes it's an issue of health and nutrition. I have not been sick in 5 years. I did not get the vaccines. I did not get COVID. I'm one of the only people I know who did not get COVID. I have not had a cough, a viral infection, bacterial infection, since at least 2019. And I attribute that to not the fact that I'm eating celery and Brussels sprouts and carrots every day. I attribute that to the fact that Denise makes me take a handful of supplements every day. She's got zinc, vitamin D, some vitamin C, some methyl B vitamins, and other supplements. And she just puts them in this little bowl, and I take them every day. She is helping me keep my immune system tuned up and in good running order. And I hardly, like I said, I haven't been sick in 5 years. So a news article this morning from Zero Hedge, that they're thinking that there's a connection between low iron levels and long COVID. That might be something to look into. There are all kinds of reasons why people end up with long COVID. You know, I would just keep exploring the options and keep praying. All right. We are going to go to whoever is next. Bettina. Bettina, you have your hand up. Oh, you have your hand up. If you can unmute yourself, Bettina, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just want to thank you for all the prayers, and I read all your stuff every day, and I was just calling to see, and I've emailed you to pray for my acoustic neuroma.
Okay. I'm praying for your acoustic neuroma to be healed.
Yep. Yes. Yep. If you could please pray for me again. I'm just trying not to go to surgery.
Okay. I'll do that right now.
Thank you.
All right. All right. I release the healing power of heaven. I command this neuroma to be cast into the sea. I command cancer cells to die. I speak death through all cancer cells. I curse all cancer cells. I cast this tumor into the sea. I command sickness, disease, and evil spirits get out. Go to the feet of Jesus and do not return. All right. Patty Nappin. Patty, if you can unmute yourself, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello.
This is Patty.
Hey, Patty.
I just want hi. Thanks for taking my call. I found you about 2 years ago. My husband and I have been in ministry for about 50 years. We have done some, we've worked with the book 2 Hours to Freedom to free people from demons, and I just love
it. It's a great book.
Oh, it is a great book, and it really helped us. We're Baptist, so we're learning a lot. We're very involved. We're very awake. Anyway, what I wanted to say was I really appreciate your 3 easy steps to emotional healing. It's fast. It's easy. People can do it themselves. They don't need us to do it for them. Every day I use it, just, you know, wrong attitudes, whatever, and I can give
it's
it to
the Lord.
It's
a powerful tool, isn't it?
It's wonderful, and I can't thank you enough. I've also, I have really delved into healing prayers, which is different than what we do normally. As you know your own background way back. My husband's wonderful. He's really come along with me. I just want to thank you. That's all. I prayed for a little baby that was coming along that had heart problems so bad they wanted to operate in utero. We prayed. The young woman said, nope, I'm going to wait. That baby came out perfect. I'm claiming that one.
That's awesome. I love it.
You know, it is awesome. God's awesome. So we don't ask enough. We don't come to him enough, soon enough. I just, that's all I want to say. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Patty.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too. All right. John with Jesus. John with Jesus, if you can't unmute yourself again, What's on your mind?
Okay. Yes, I was just wondering, you know, we've talked about COVID a little bit, and I know that, you know, we shouldn't be in fear about anything, but I wondered about your views regarding shedding and then some of the other environmental things we read about things being put in our food and things put in the air and chemtrails and all of these other things, and just wondered about your views on those and also just how we should pray for protection and so forth.
Okay. I will address those issues. My perspective on COVID, in that I have a history. I'm trained as a medical practitioner. I was licensed as a critical care paramedic, and I have some, you know, formal training in healthcare. That said, God has given me almost no revelation about COVID and the vaccines, and I try to limit myself to keep myself from commenting on things that God has not specifically authorized me to comment on. So I don't very often comment on the vaccines and COVID, other than some general information that is easy to find on the internet. So I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on that, other than some things that I already said. Like, I think if you keep your immune system tuned up by taking supplements, by eating right, and not eating a lot of GMOs. I think, you know, GMOs are definitely something to be avoided. Denise and I have switched over to more or less a keto kind of a diet, avoiding carbs and avoiding, you know, especially anything that's got GMOs. We lean toward organic food, grass-fed beef, that sort of thing. I think anything you can do to get away from, you know, pesticides, herbicides, GMOs, you're gonna be better in the long run if you can just avoid putting those things into your body. On the issue of chemtrails, I have no revelation on that. God has not spoken to me about that. If that's an issue I should be praying about. So it's not really on my radar. And other things, you know, 5G and things of that nature. Again, things that God has never spoken to me about. He's never alerted me to it, hasn't put it on my radar, so I don't pay a lot of attention to that stuff. Not saying that they're not dangerous. I'm not saying they're not real. I am saying that God really hasn't authorized me to speak on those issues, so I don't really speak on those issues. All right, thanks, man. Let's see. Jen. She keeps moving around. Jen, if you can unmute yourself. Gosh, she's keeps jumping around and I keep trying to unmute her. Jen, if you can unmute yourself, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to ask for prayer for my right eye, which I have the detachment. And it
detached kind of retina?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, there you are. All right. For Jen and anyone listening who has a detached retina, I release the healing power of heaven. I command retina to be healed, restored, and made new. I command all damage to the retina to be reversed. Evil spirits, sickness, and disease get out in the name of Jesus. I command spirits of blindness to go. I command the retina to be healed right now. All right. Q hat. All right, man. What is shaking, brother? Andy, are you out there? Where'd he go? Now he disappeared. Dang it. He was there 1 minute, now he's gone. All right, he must have dropped off. Shu, SHU. If you can unmute yourself, what's going on?
Hi, I'd like to ask if we could pray for people who have jobs where they get paid and they get bonuses and kudos and promotions for not helping people.
Yes, we can pray for those people. I think that's appropriate. Yeah, we should probably pray for those people.
Thank you.
All right. Q-Hat, you're back.
Yes, sir. You can hear me all right?
I can hear you.
Good, good. Testimony and a question. First of all, excuse me, you mentioned that you were one of the few people you knew that didn't get COVID, and it dawned on me when you said that my parents, both my mom and my dad, are the only ones that I know that didn't get COVID either, and they're in their 70s, and I had prayed for them early on that that they would not get COVID, and they're the only ones I know that didn't, and it's awesome. I'm like, you know, the best way to be healed is to not get sick in the first place. So we need to pray against this stuff. So,
amen.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that and maybe encourage people to pray against these things. You know, they don't get it to begin with. It's much easier to deal with. But secondly, the question, my dad has had adhesions in his intestines. He's had a couple times, and then he gets bowel obstructions and stuff. And I've prayed for him to be healed with that, of those. But my question is, do you just pray that, you know, do you pray like one time and just believe that it was done, or do you keep revisiting it for a while, or how do you do things with when you can't see the results to know if it's been healed or if it's something you need to continue on?
Yeah, so I get a lot of emails from people asking me to pray for various conditions, and I tend to approach it as I'm going to pray, I'm going to believe that this condition is going to be healed, and that's it. Now, I have some people who come back to me and email me week after week after week after week because they're not getting breakthrough, they're not getting healed. And I just keep on praying for them. And sometimes, in some cases, they are healed. And sometimes it's a progressive healing. You know, and some people are not healed. And there's a lot of reasons why some people are not healed. With your with anyone who's a relative, if you have the ability to like be in the same room with them, and you can release power directly and command. You know, with adhesions and scar tissue, I would just command the scar tissue, command the adhesions to be gone. Using your authority, command that stuff to be gone. But it may take two or three or four sessions for that to manifest. And that's kind of normal.
Okay. Great. I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, brother. All right. Patriot Cat with 17. One of our regular contributors in the channel. Hey, what's going on, sister? What would you like to talk about? And she is gone. Nope, there she is. And now she does not have her hand up. All right. Patriot Cat was 17. You're still unmuted on my end. If you'd like to.
Okay. Am I on?
Yep, you're good.
Oh, wow. Hi.
Hey.
This is nerve-wracking.
Good talking to you. Don't be nervous.
I am very nervous. Just wanted to tell you that I just realized I have neuropathy.
Okay.
And I don't know how to get back to you, but, well, whatever. It just seems that I can't feel my toes and I can't feel my fingers, and they're cold as ice. And I thought I had a runny nose, but I don't. I have a very cold nose. So evidently I have neuropathy, and I've asked God to help me take care of it. Will you help me too?
I will. Can I give you a suggestion?
Yes.
Okay. Neuropathy, for whatever reason, I don't know why this is, but I've seen a lot of people healed of neuropathy. I haven't seen anyone healed with one prayer session. It almost always takes 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 sessions of healing before their nerves to completely come back to normal health. So here's my suggestion for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to do this, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do first, and I want you to do the same thing. Okay. I want you to speak to the nerves in your hands and feet. You're speaking to those nerves, and you're commanding those nerves to come back to life. Because neuropathy is a condition where the myelin sheath and the nervous tissue starts to die. Yes. So you're going to speak life to the nerves in your feet and speak life to the nerves in your hand. And you're going to keep doing that every day. And you will start to notice the feeling will return to your hands and feet. If you keep doing this over the course of like a week or two, you'll notice changes. I guarantee it. So we're going to get going right now.
Thank you.
I command your nerves in your feet and hands to be healed right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak life to the nerves. I command the nerves to come back to life. I release the healing power of heaven, and I command nerves come back to life right now. Disease, sickness, and evil spirits, get out. Go to the feet of Jesus. Do not return.
Thank you.
All right. So I want you to do that every day. You're just, and if it helps, if you might want to do this, take your hands, place your hands over your feet.
That's what I did.
Place your hands right down by your feet, because the power of God will come out of those, out of your hands into your feet. And also, you know, you can just put your hands like this and let the power of God go from one hand to the other hand. And pray over your hands, pray over your feet, and keep us posted, because I want to know what happens.
I will. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to go to Vicky JD. Vicky JD, if you can unmute yourself, what's going on?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, listen, first I wanted to just comment on what somebody else said about you didn't have COVID at all. Myself and my two young adult sons, we escaped it for the whole 3.5 years. Then my son got a job July. September, he came home, had COVID. We all got COVID. Sadly, now I'm losing my hair.
Oh, man.
Somebody said that was a result of COVID. So I had a big, nice.
Yeah. A lot of people have lost their hair after getting COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm losing my hair. It's kind of disconcerting, but I'm praying for it to just grow back.
Listen to my COVID healing prayer on my Rumble channel. I know of several women who've had their hair restored after listening to that video.
Oh, okay. Because I usually listen. It's number 199A. I listen to that every single night. And I'll go back to the COVID one. But anyhow, that wasn't really what I was calling for.
right.
And secondly, the one lady that just called in said about her detached retina. I have a detached vitreous. So I'm hoping that prayer falls over onto us. What I wanted to ask you about was last month there was somebody that called in asking about, I think, altars and fragments. And
yes.
I'm very hazy on that subject. I have had ongoing things. I do emotional healing anywhere from, 3 to probably 20 times a day, because I just keep having one thing and then that gets better. It goes to the next. It goes to the next. So I'm just trying to figure this out and get completely healed from all these little issues that keep cropping up.
Okay. So you want me to explain what altars and fragments are about?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe that had something to do with what my problem is.
It does. It absolutely does. So stay in the line, because I'd like to have a little conversation here, if we could.
Okay.
Briefly, altars and fragments are wounded parts of the soul. So when you do emotional healing, and this is, I mentioned this a little bit in the Emotional Healing in 3 Easy Steps book. It's described a lot more detail in the Emotional Healing Made Simple book, the latest book, the full-length book on emotional healing. But basically, when you're doing emotional healing, and Jesus is healing the wounded parts of your soul, those parts are sometimes just, some people refer to them as parts. Some people refer to them as altars or fragments. A fragment is a wounded part of your soul that retains the memories and the emotions related to traumatic events. An altar is a wounded part of your soul that has developed its own personality.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So when we are working on emotional healing and we're healing these wounded parts of the soul, we're actually healing sometimes alternate identities. and that gets into the conversation of multiple personalities and alternate identities and all that. That's a longer conversation, but that's the, kind of the brief description of what's happening.
Okay. All right. That makes sense because I did have a huge traumatic event. My husband was killed and it went on from there. So I've been trying to deal with that.
So let me just go a little one step further. One of the obstacles to emotional healing is an altar or a fragment that doesn't want to be healed because they don't trust Jesus. Yeah. So even if you are a Christian, and even if you have other wounded parts of your soul that are Christians, many people have wounded parts of the soul that do not know Jesus, don't trust Jesus, and don't want to be healed. And that can actually hold up your emotional healing, which can hold up your physical healing. So the dynamic there is we try to get you to make contact with these altars and fragments and convince them that they can trust Jesus, that he's not going to harm them, that they can trust him and allow him to heal them. And when that happens, when they give in and they allow Jesus to heal them, that's another part of your soul that is healed. That's another demonic attachment point that is removed. You can usually get rid of the demons, get rid of the disease that's associated with that demon and that altar.
That would be so great. I'm just exhausted.
I hear you. It can be a long process, especially, like you said, if you've had significant traumatic events in your life, it can be, exhausting.
Yeah. It's one thing to the next, in and out of the emergency room, and every time, Dave, they find nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, I know. Keep pursuing it. And try to make contact with the altars and fragments and just keep working on that emotional healing. You'll get breakthrough eventually.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yep. Terry of Light. Where'd she go? Terry of Light, you were here a minute ago and now you're gone. I unmuted you. If you're able to unmute yourself, dang it, she is like not in the chat now. All right, this is going to be interesting. Oh, there she is. She's back. Terry of Light, you're back. If you can unmute yourself, what's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, Dave. I wanted to ask about generational curses. How do you help that?
You break them.
That's too simple.
Hey, come on. You want me to make it hard for you? I'll make it hard for you, but no, you break them. So some people are kind of hazy and not sure about the legitimacy of generational curses. I have seen some success in breaking generational curses. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. one of the powers of the enemy is curses on our generations. So it can be as simple as an exercise of authority, where you simply say, I, by the power invested in me, by the God of heaven, by the kingdom of God, I break the power of all generational curses that are on my family tree, on my lineage, on my bloodline. I break the power of these curses. And spirit-led prayer is a thing. I would absolutely get in touch with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, are there specific things that have allowed my bloodline to be cursed? Are there things that I need to renounce for my bloodline? Are there agreements that my ancestors came into agreement with that I need to renounce? Renouncing agreements, coming out of agreement, it may require you repenting on behalf of your ancestors. Some people have found that to be effective. It can be a simple process. It could be a little involved. I would let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Thank you.
You betcha. Candace Boehm. Candace, if you can unmute yourself, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wonderful. Okay. Hi. So I have a few things, one of which is I was diagnosed with a parotid gland mass, which I have been rebuking it. I've been declaring healing. I have broken generational curses. I've been taking communion. I've had people praying for me. I still have some symptoms. So I need this thing gone in the name of Jesus. So that's
okay,
the first thing.
That's the first thing. Hang on. Stop. I command this parotid gland mass to be gone. I cast this mass into the sea. I command it to be removed by the authority invested in me by the kingdom of heaven. I release the power of heaven. I command this mass to be gone. Okay, what's the next thing?
Okay, the second thing is, tinnitus, swallowing issues, and I'll just group them together. And I have, and I believe these are from a car accident from 2017 where my head is tremoring. I need that to be gone too.
Okay, is that it?
That would be the healing issues, yes.
Okay. Let's see. Lord, bring your healing presence upon Candace. I command her brain to be healed, nervous system healed. I command tremors to be gone. Command all toxins to be removed from her body. Command evil spirits to be removed from her body. Command all sickness and disease to be gone in the name of Jesus. All right. All right, Candace. Terry Pack. Terry, if you can unmute yourself. Terry, hang on. Terry, if you can unmute yourself, what's on your mind?
Did he say yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I am so thankful because I've never done this before. And my husband and I love you and your wife. You are, we are so blessed. And I share you with everyone that has a problem.
Bless your heart.
And okay, so my husband is here, and I came in and I said, Charlie, Dave can pray for you. And he does listen, but there's a lot going on with him. And
okay.
He really needs you to pray. And he's right here. Okay, Charlie.
2016, I had a massive stroke.
Okay.
In the area where you have all your mobility.
But yep.
I wasn't affected. I can still walk, talk, feed myself, get dressed, everything that I was not supposed to be able to do. But my eyesight got messed up. And then my feet got messed up. I got these knots on the bottom of my feet. And they're so sore that I can't hardly walk. And I was a man that always walked and prayed, 4 or 5 miles a day.
Okay.
Now I can't even get up the street without so much pain.
Okay.
In other words, I need a complete overhaul of my body.
How about if I pray for you?
Go for it.
All right. Lord, bring your healing presence. Bring your healing presence. I command his feet to be healed. I command these knots to be gone. I cast these things into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, bring your healing presence upon him. I command his nervous system to be healed, his brain healed, circulatory system healed. Command his immune system to be healed, muscles, ligaments, nerves, tendons, bones, cartilage, and discs healed, restored, made new in the name of Jesus. All right, man, you're healed. Stop being a sissy. Let's see. Seattle, Marsha, can you unmute yourself?
Oh, yes. Here I am. So sorry.
Yes, you are.
It reshuffles people, and then you have to
it
go.
It does. It moves people around. And for me, it's like hitting a moving target.
Sounds
yeah.
like a telegram glitch to me. But so I have a little three-year-old granddaughter who has had RSV almost her entire life. And she desperately, you know, it makes me just so sad to hear her cough all the time. And then I've got chronic heartburn. It just doesn't want to leave.
So prayer is for you and for your granddaughter?
Yes, 3 years old.
Okay. All right, Lord, bring your healing presence upon Marcia. I command her GI tract to be healed. I command the cardiac sphincter to be healed. Sickness, disease, and evil spirits get out. And for the granddaughter, I command her immune system to be healed. T cells healed, bone marrow healed, white blood cells healed, restored, made new. Command her immune system to be healed in the name of Jesus. All right, everybody. Oh, wait a minute. Now, Peaky Dreamer, our friend from France, if you can unmute yourself, what's on your mind, sister?
Hi, Dave. Do you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. I have a question.
Okay.
Do you have any insight or something from God that at some point religion will be suppressed or not?
That religion will be suppressed?
Yeah.
Are you asking if I have revelation about religious persecution?
No, if
or,
we will
or the
be
spirit of religion being dethroned.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ooh, boy. I don't think I do. I don't think I have any revelation on that. I would love to see that happen. But, you know, it's interesting because the religious spirit is a spirit of control. Right?
I agree.
And the political spirit is also a spirit of control. Mm-hmm. And I think that God is going to do some things to dethrone these spirits that work through controlling people. I suspect that that's coming. Like I said, I haven't any dreams or specific revelation about that, but I think that's part of what is coming.
That will be cool.
It will be cool.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Bonjour. All right. Let's see. Caro Hug. Caro Hug. Caro, oh, there you go. Now you muted yourself again. Caro Hug, if you can unmute yourself, what's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
And hi, and my granddaughter, Odelia. We're joining you from New Zealand.
Oh,
Odelia.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, Odelia, it gets really bad eczema on her skin. Okay. And just wondering if there's a spiritual cause something we need to break for her. We pray and we've asked God to heal it, haven't we, honey? We've asked Jesus to heal it. I've cursed the eczema and told it to leave her body. Just wondering if there could be any spiritual things that I need to cut off.
I think there could be. Has she gone through emotional healing at all?
She's four. So
it's... And I'm almost five this year.
So you're going to say, no, she hasn't been through emotional healing.
No.
Well, that's one thing to consider. And emotional healing can be done for very small children. Actually, I've got a mate who is from Brisbane, and he and his wife have developed a method of emotional healing for their very young children, 2, 3, 4 years old. That's quite effective. They just turn it into a game whenever the child is having a tantrum, a bad day, having a bad spell. You can take that energy, that emotional, strong emotional energy, and kind of ask them if they would like to remain angry and or if they'd like Jesus to heal them. That's just a suggestion. But mm-hmm. Would you like to pray for her?
Yes, please. That would be lovely. Thank you.
What's her name?
Odelia.
Odelia. Well, Odelia, we are going to believe that God is going to heal you today. In the name of Jesus, I command your skin to be healed. I command redness, itching, irritation, inflammation, sickness, and disease to get out. I command evil spirits to be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring your healing presence upon her. All right. Well, thank you, girl. Appreciate it. All right. We have been on the show for about an hour and a half, and I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit. It has been a good broadcast. I'm going to wind this down. The replay of this broadcast will be in the Telegram channel later on today, and it'll be on Rumble this afternoon, and it'll be on my website. Thank you all to everyone who has joined the live stream and who's listened to the replay. If this has blessed you, be sure to share it with your friends. You can find my videos, books, articles, podcasts, classes, all of my information content is on my website, prayingmedic.com. If you'd like to support us financially, we do receive donations through GiveSendGo. That website is givesendgo.com/PM. We do appreciate all the financial support that we receive from you. It allows us to continue to be able to put out this information. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep President Trump and our nation in prayer. As goes America, so goes the world. United States is one of the last bastions of freedom. We cannot afford to let our country slip into darkness. If it does, the world slips into darkness. If President Trump gets back in the Oval Office, if we can take back control from the deep state, I think we can save things, turn it around. It's not too late, but it's going to require a lot of prayer. So keep our leaders in prayer. That's it. I'm going to go. Love you all. Take care. I'll catch you on the next broadcast.